At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in, everyone. Another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, the Championship Week edition. Matt Newman's back from Hawaii. I am back from Mexico. So how are you? So good to see you. Big smile on your face. You look like that Hawaiian, that Hawaiian charm kind of paid off.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
You think it was, I picked up some good luck on the islands? Because, Tim, I came back with a belt.
Yes, you did. Well, look at this thing.
Can I show you this belt?
Look at this. Boom. The Bets Giving Champion of the World. Got a little DraftKings here. I could just see Matt Newman's walking around town telling all the ladies about his belt. New belt. So, yes, we have the Bets Giving Champion of the World our show.
Somebody asked me about the contest. I said, you know, it's not a big deal. It's only the most esteemed handicapping contest in the world.
And what was your quote? I've been dreaming of this all my life for the past week.
I think it was a lifelong dream for the past week.
Yeah. Well, you
know, competition was fierce. Tim, you pushed me to the finish line.
Yes, I did. Okay. No, I did not. I blame Britton Hess, our producer of VSiN Primetime. You know, when in doubt, like a true athlete, blame someone else for your faults. And that's what I do.
That's take page one out of Aaron Rodgers' playbook. If you suck, throw somebody else under the bus.
Absolutely. I'm not taking any blame.
I have to give weekend producer, Friday night producer, Brian Ortega, credit because I was in Hawaii. Ortega put the plays in for me. We went 2-0 on the first day. I said, okay, I'm superstitious. You got to keep putting the plays in for the rest of the contest. And if you win, I'll buy you a $200 gift certificate to your favorite restaurant. So I asked him, today, actually, what's your favorite restaurant? Where do you want the gift certificate? And Ortega says, you know, I'm thinking maybe Wingstop. I can't believe that.
People have not been here. You know, Brian Ortega, God love him. We work at a great hotel in downtown Vegas at the Circa. They have Barry's. They have 8 East. You could go anywhere. There's plenty of great restaurants. Wingstop. All right.
Wingstop.
Well, the good thing is if you do buy him a $200 gift card to Wingstop, he could probably use that for 12 visits.
I was going to say, it's like a year's supply of Wingstop.
Good Lord.
If that's what he wants.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks, Tim, because I know you mean it from the bottom of your heart. And
means a lot. You know, I was devastated, ruined my weekend that I did not win Bets Giving. What also ruined my weekend was that on the podcast last week, I gave out Auburn plus 21.5.
Wow.
And they lost 40 9-27.
You know, by the way, in the bets giving contest using DraftKings lines, we had a contestant, might have been you, or some, you might have won. Somebody won with 22.5 and somebody pushed on 22. So obviously that number, who thought 22 was such a key number? But it comes into play in the Auburn-Alabama game.
I got to go back and listen, and I wonder if I said, you know, anything over 21, you're probably good, you know? So I actually played it. Not that anyone cares. Hopefully, if you tailed, you did get 22 or 22.5. But that was a bummer. 2-2 week for me last week on the pod. My two write-ups on the website came home. UTEP almost won it outright, which would have been beautiful. And Missouri. But we press on, Matt. And we've got a interesting week. And before we jump into the games, obviously a lesser slate because it is championship week. How do you normally go about weeks like this? Because it's high-profile games, a lot of ranked-on-ranked teams, but it's a small slate. You and I like to dive deep. You know, we'll look for motivational angles. I mean, that's something I certainly look at during the regular season. So very limited slate, high-profile games. A lot of people are going to want to bet these games. How do you normally go about weekends like this?
I don't think it's all that much different from how you handicap rivalry week, you know, because there are situations where teams are motivated to play for bowl eligibility or things like that. Just some rivalry games. You see some strange things happen. A week like this, I look at underdogs. I think like LSU and Purdue a little bit differently. I don't want to say they're playing with nothing to lose, but they're playing with house money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes the underdogs a little bit more dangerous in games like that. Now, we saw blowouts in some of these Power 5 conference championship games in the past, but teams that were clearly overmatched, like Iowa last year against Michigan. But, Tim, don't you think coaches like Brian Kelly, like Jeff Brohm, guys like that, are just going to empty the playbook in a game like this because you are playing with house money, and if you can pull the upset, if you can beat Georgia, if you can beat Michigan, that's almost – I mean, that's a monster accomplishment for your program to win a conference championship in that situation. Why would you not let it all hang out? Like I said, empty the playbook.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. We'll get to those two games because I know you have plays on both of them, maybe tipping your hat a little bit. We'll go in chronological order, and we'll start – well, we actually – before we get to it, let's put in the little fancy drop here.
The main course.
There we go. Friday night here in Las Vegas. It is a sellout, which is great to see considering this conference championship – was, for lack of a better terms, an embarrassment for years at Levi's Stadium. Mm-hmm. No one went to it. You know, a lot of it had to do with the fact that, you know, Stanford wasn't in a decent amount and they don't have a great fan base. Had a good football team for a good stretch. But it's going to be a sellout, great atmosphere, which is great to see here at Allegiant Stadium in town. 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock local kick. You can watch it on Fox. And this line has danced a little bit this week. Right now, as we record, mostly 2.5. So if you like the dog, there's a 3 out there at DraftKings. USC, 11-1. They win. They're into the college football playoff. Utah, an opportunity to play the royal role of spoiler. How do you look at this one on Friday night?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to look at this one. So I'm not going to say it's my biggest play of the year or anything like that. You recall the first time these teams played, you and I were on Utah.
On the money line.
On the money line.
Thank God.
And I will say that laying the points with Utah was clearly the wrong side in that game. And I felt like Utah was probably the wrong side in the game, Tim. We were fortunate. You know, Kyle Whittingham turned into a gambler at the end, and he went for 2 with 48 seconds to go after Cameron Rising ran in the 1-yard touchdown. Whittingham said he had his mind made up as they were driving that he was going to go for 2. I don't disagree. Obviously, the call paid off. Utah wins the game 43-42. But when I look back at that game, Caleb Williams threw for 381 yards, 5 touchdowns, no picks. He was basically untouchable in that game. For the season, he's got 44 TDs, including 10 rushing and 3 picks. Insane numbers. There's no way he's not going to win the Heisman. It would be a crime if he didn't win the Heisman at this point. The USC defense has been, I'm going to say, opportunistic. Nobody's going to look at the numbers and say this is a great defense, but the turnovers forced have been impressive, 26 on the season. Going back to that game, USC's offense, 556 total yards. The Trojans had a 21-7 lead late in the second quarter. It seemed like they had control of the game, which they lost control of in the second half. I thought the difference in the game, Tim, USC was whistled for 12 penalties in the game. A couple of those, I want to say controversial or questionable, whatever, however you want to term it. I thought they were big penalties to kind of help swing the game, keep drives alive for Utah, and then Kyle Whittingham going for two at the end. And, of course, the game was in Salt Lake City as well. And if you look at the Utes, they haven't played as well away from home this season. They really haven't. That's not unique to them. That's true with a lot of teams. But I think USC right now, Caleb Williams has a hot hand coming off two big wins over UCLA and Notre Dame. I was foolish enough to bet against USC in both of those games and lose. Well, actually, he didn't lose a UCLA bet, but anyway, pushed it. USC won both games. You and I both knew we were on the wrong side Notre Dame last week in the first 5 minutes. I don't know even if you made Notre Dame bet. I did. I knew 5 minutes into it, it was the wrong side.
Oh, I texted you. I said, Notre Dame's losing.
You're a Notre Dame guy, so I don't know if you had a bet or if you just it was a fan in Utah.
No, it was the fan in me knowing okay. that Notre Dame was going to lose.
Yeah, it was pretty obvious that Irish were the wrong side in that game last week. I don't want to bet against Caleb Williams here, and the fact that the Utes just haven't played very good football away from home. I laid 2.5 with USC, but like I said, it's not my biggest play of the week or anything like that. It's just a normal play because I think there are a lot of different ways you can look at this game.
Well, we have amazingly, through the regular season, disagreed once officially
right.
on picks. This will be number two. I'm going to take the three with Utah. Everything that you said is accurate, and I'm just going to be stubborn enough to go with Utah here. I took a little on the three. You could still get it minus 115 at DraftKings. Maybe you wait a little bit and see the numbers that come in. Look, it's not a pure anti-public play. Obviously, the public is on USC no matter where you look, whether it's DraftKings or BetMGM. USC deserves to be the favorite in this game. Kyle Whittingham came out earlier this week, and maybe it's means nothing. But he sat at his press conference and said, I see that everyone's already anointed USC to the college football playoff and that Caleb Williams has won the Heisman Trophy.
I think he has won the Heisman.
He has not. Yeah, he can't lose the Heisman Trophy, in my opinion, this week, and the odds are showing that. Cam Rising was a pumpkin against Oregon. He really was. He played terribly through picks.
Yep.
I think when you look back at the Notre Dame-USC game, which you're accurate, USC right side the whole way, Notre Dame averaged over 7 yards per play with Drew Pine as their quarterback. He played well, but Drew Pine, in my eyes, is a group of five type of quarterback, and he really had no issues whatsoever. So we'll see how it plays out. Tavion Thomas obviously is out for Utah, which is a big loss. They're starting running back. Dalton Kincaid is not 100% healthy, and Cam Rising has kind of been up and down. And, you know, when you look at last week, Notre Dame against USC, you look at the two quarterbacks, just an incredible discrepancy. It's a pretty big discrepancy here, not as vast as it was last week, but I'm going to take the points. I think this is a close game. I think you're going to get a great effort from Utah. And I'm curious. I'm not a conspiracy theorist whatsoever.
But I am.
But I'm curious your thoughts on this.
Uh-huh.
Because there's one side that says...
I can tell you the answer before you ask the question.
Well, I'm going to...
Go ahead.
So... The Pac-12 hasn't been to the playoff in 6 years, I think, 5 or 6 years since Washington.
Washington got
beat
down.
So you would think, okay, USC is going to get all the calls. They're leaving the conference
right. High
and dry in 2 years. So if you're into conspiracy theories, I think there's two trains of thought. Does this conference want to get into the playoff? Of course. Do they want it to be USC, though? Because they're leaving them in 2 years.
Okay, to answer your first question, yeah, no doubt the Pac-12 wants to be in the college football playoff. Means more money for the conference.
Absolutely.
Follow the money. And I think if the first time I talked about it, 12 penalties on USC, there were a few questionable calls, big calls in that game that swung things kind of in Utah's favor. I think the calls might go USC's way here. Yeah, I'm a conspiracy theorist, no doubt about it. I think if you're not in terms of politics and sometimes the upper workings of some of these leagues and playoff committees, you're a fool not to be a conspiracy theorist. Now, you know, maybe in a specific game, it's not going to work that way. It used to in the NBA when David Stern was in charge.
Oh, yeah.
There's no question. I'm just saying maybe a couple calls go USC's way. There's no doubt the conference wants to have a team in the playoff. It's great for the conference. Would the Pac-12 prefer it be Utah? No question, but Utah's got no shot at the playoff. So it's got to be USC or bust. And also keep in mind that USC has not left the Pac-12 yet. And I still think there's a chance that UCLA and USC could reverse course maybe at some point and stay in the Pac-12 and not complete that move to the Big Ten. Yeah, it's a long shot, but it's still a possibility. Until you leave, you haven't left. And I think that there is a chance that you could see a couple calls go USC's way. It's definitely, Tim, it definitely benefits the Pac-12, even if USC is deserting the league, to have a team in the playoff.
The Pac-12 has really found amazing ways to get in its own way, sure, to miss this playoff. Yeah. And Utah knows it quite well. 2019, they win, they're in, they get blown out by Oregon. So we'll see if they can reverse course. You know what's crazy?
That was crazy. I remember that game vividly, and Utah was just
pummeled.
Not even in the game.
Pummeled. Yeah. And then last year, I mean, not that it had playoff implications, but they played Oregon for the second time in 3 weeks, and they destroyed the Ducks. So we'll see. I'll take Oregon plus the 3, kind of like you. Not my favorite play of the week, but I am going to take a little on Utah plus the 3.
Well, I also think, if you're playing the dog, you're taking 3, and if you're playing a favorite, you're laying 2.5.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. So 3 for me. 2.5 for Matt. Maybe not officially head-to-head, but yeah, pretty close to head-to-head here. All right, let's get to the noon kick Eastern, 11 a.m. in Arlington, Jarrah's World. Another game with massive playoff implications. TCU 12-0. Maybe one of my worst bets ever. Last week, I took 10.5 with Iowa State. We had a good run 2 weeks ago. We've had a good run on the podcast, and I still went 2-2 on my official plays last week. Uh-huh. Of course, didn't give out Mississippi State, which won outright. That's just the way it works. But I gave out Iowa State. Awful bet. Absolutely terrible. And now you've got the revenge factor again, right? USC revenge factor against Utah, TCU, Kansas State. Kansas State catching 2.5 here in Arlington. I know you've got a play in this game. Will Howard got a little dinged up in that game in Fort Worth back in October. 28 unanswered for TCU to win 38-28 and cover. Both Matt and I had 3.5 with the dog in that one. Going back to the well with the Purple mm-hmm. Cats here?
I am. The first time I think it was taking 5 in the game in Fort Worth. That's where the number opened. And K-State had kind of owned this series before losing in Fort Worth in the first meeting this season. Wildcats led 28-10 late second quarter. Two of their quarterbacks go down. Adrian Martinez, Will Howard, the third stringer, comes in. First pass, throws a pick. Wheels fall off before you know it. An 18-point lead when you're catching 5 turns into a 38-28 loss. I think Will Howard has steadily improved here in the past few weeks. K-State's playing at a really high level. I know you're going to look at the score, the Iowa State blowout, and say what TCU did against the Cyclones was more impressive, but K-State's been playing some really good football since that loss on October 22nd. Chris Kleiman's one of my favorite coaches, an under-the-radar coach not many people talk about. But you got Deuce Vaughn, who's one of the best running backs in the country, 1,295 yards, 5.3 per carry. This offense is hard to stop. And I think K-State, you can talk about how it's tough to beat a team through 2 or 3 times in a season. It's not tough to beat a bad team 2 or 3 times in a season. It is tough to beat a good team and a well-coached team 2 or 3 times in a season. Now, TCU, I think, is going to have its hands full here with K-State. I was hoping the number would move to 3. I haven't seen 3.
Nope.
I haven't bet this yet, but you can put me on the record for K-State plus 2.5. I think the Wildcats win the game, and I'll end up taking the 2.5 and a little bit of the money line price if that's what I have to do by Friday night, Saturday morning.
And TCU will be holding on to their butts on Sunday morning, figuring out at 12-1, did we do enough to hold off Ohio State in their number 5?
Tim, that's where I become a conspiracy theorist again.
Ohio State?
You saw the ratings, the TV ratings.
17 million people.
For Ohio State, Michigan,
correct,
right? Do you think TCU is going to bring in a fraction of those viewers?
I tweeted out something to this effect. I didn't even give an opinion. I just asked the question, Matt. Okay, TCU loses by three. USC loses by three. What are the matchups? And I said, do we get Ohio State, Michigan again? Alabama fans got mad at me. TCU fans. I'm like, I just asked a question because on Thanksgiving weekend, 17 million people watched Ohio State and Michigan. You don't think ESPN executives, because that was on Fox, wouldn't mind having that matchup on New Year's Eve on a Saturday. Just putting it out there.
Hey, it's if USC flops on Friday night in Vegas done. And TCU, USC would not get in. But if TCU loses, I think it's going to be too convenient for the committee, Tim, to put in Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama.
Ooh, that would be something.
And you know what? There's not too many odds makers who would disagree with that, by the way.
That would be
odds makers would tell you that Ohio State, Bama, favored on a neutral over TCU, USC. So I don't think you can throw a fit about it. There's going to be a lot of people complaining on Twitter and just in the media in general if that's the scenario that plays out on Sunday morning. But from an odds-making perspective, I can tell you those are the four best teams, the four strongest teams, so I would not cry about it. Also, if TCU loses, I'm not in that group of people who thinks TCU is guaranteed to be in the playoff if it loses.
I don't think so.
Now let's say TCU loses by 10.
If they lose by 10, it gets interesting. If they lose by 3, I think they're in at number 4.
But you can never underestimate the power of the money and the TV ratings and what the other teams are going to bring and what TCU's not.
I 100% agree, and they figured that out a couple years ago, the first year of the playoff.
What was that, 2014?
When they were number 3, or Baylor was number 3, dropped to number 6. So I'll say this, TCU fans, win the damn game, and then you don't have to worry about it. Win the game. I took 2.5 2 weeks ago, and somehow magically they found a way to win, and I got the cover. So we'll see if they can win by 1 here. You can win your bet, and TCU can get into the playoff. Let's head to Atlanta. LSU against Georgia. Number one Georgia host. It is basically hosting. It's at the Georgia Dome or Mercedes-Benz Dome, whatever they call it. 4:00 Eastern on CBS. Going to be a great atmosphere, as it always is, down there in Atlanta. Brian Kelly told the media today that Jaden Daniels has been practicing all week, which is great news for Bayou Bengal fans. The number has gone up steadily throughout the week. 17.5 is where it sits right now as we record here on a Thursday afternoon. I have not touched this game. I think Georgia is going to be very motivated for this game, Matt, because they didn't win the SEC championship last year. And as anyone who watches college football knows, well, the SEC just means more, Matt. They do like winning that conference championship. They haven't won in, I think, 4 years. So I think you're going to get a motivated Georgia team, not to say they're going to cover for sure, but I do think you'll get a motivated Georgia team against LSU. What are you doing here with 17.5 points?
Well, I've already done it, and I took 18 with LSU in this game because I talked with Jimmy Ott, who's the director of content for Bet Rivers and obviously works for ESPN Radio Baton Rouge. We've talked about him before. You know him well. I was on with Jimmy early in the week, and he said Brian Kelly told the media down there, Jaden Daniels is fine. He's practicing. He's good to go. He's going to play. And he said Brian Kelly's been honest about the injury information this season, and he's told everybody what's up and been straightforward about it. So I was counting on Jaden Daniels being good here. I took the 18. I think the number is a little bit high. Another team, Tim, you said I tipped my hand a little bit, and I did. I look at teams like LSU and Purdue and coaches like Brian Kelly and Jeff Brohm, who I have a lot of respect for. These guys are really good offensive coaches. They're going to empty their playbook in a game like this because you got a chance to win the SEC championship. And Kelly, in your first year in Baton Rouge, I'll draw a line through the Texas A&M game a week ago because I think the Tigers just got caught looking ahead. Plus, Jaden Daniels was banged up in that game. He was hobbled by the ankle injury. They were looking ahead to the Georgia game. They got caught. They lost in College Station. Draw a line through that. It's all about the Georgia game now, and I think the Bulldogs have been a little bit shaky recently. That 16-6 game in Kentucky. Last week led Georgia Tech 10-7 at the half. Yeah, does Georgia have the firepower to to turn this into a blowout? There's no question. But, Tim, when I look at a guy like Stetson Bennett, he's only got 16 TD passes in 12 games, right? This is not the greatest show on turf. This is not a Georgia offense that hits you for a ton of big plays and necessarily blows you out. I don't see why LSU can't hang inside this number unless the LSU defense just has too many breakdowns and Georgia runs all over them. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Plus 17 and a half
right now. I got
18.
I took 18 with LSU, but yeah, you're right.
LSU.
And by the way, 18 can be an important number.
It can be. Yeah. 35 to 17.
28 to 10. You never know.
I think we had Brett McMurphy on the show, VSiN Primetime, earlier this week. And, you know, Brett is a tremendous reporter, but he's been dabbling in the gambling side of things every once in a while.
The mustache, McMurphy.
And he likes the over here. He likes the high pace, the track down there in the ATL. So I don't have a play, but I'll say that he got 50 and a half, and it's up to 52 and a half. So Brett McMurphy moving some markets there. And good job on being the first to report Tom Herman to Florida Atlantic here on Thursday. All right. Staying in that 4 o'clock Eastern window, Matt.
One more thing about Brett McMurphy. So he reported the Hawaii Bowl matchup?
Yes, he did. Thank you, Brett.
That's
San Diego State, Middle Tennessee.
Looking forward to that. What you said that was the second. I think Brett tweeted that was the second bowl matchup to set. What's the first?
The first is the Bahamas Bowl. Miami of Ohio will be taking on UAB.
Okay, I missed that one.
Yeah, that was... Okay.
Is Trent Dilfer going to be coaching the Blazers? I don't think so.
I don't think he is going to be coaching that one. I wonder if those two matchups have to get out earlier because of the travel and the logistics. Bahamas being out of the country and Hawaii being, you know, so far away. I don't know. That's just pure speculatory for me. But we do have two bowls, and we will have all 40-plus of them announced on Sunday, including the Vegas Bowl, which I'm excited about. SEC versus the Pac-12.
Go ahead, Tim. Go ahead. Break the news. Well, Tim Murray has sources to tell him what the Vegas Bowl matchup is going to be.
I'll just say that there's a couple predictions that it's Florida and Oregon State, which I think would be a cool matchup.
Okay.
Oregon State, Jonathan Smith covering second, the best covering team in college football. Let's call it transition here. Mm-hmm. 10-2, Oregon State. Tulane 10-2, and that's where we go. The American Athletic Conference Championship game down at Uelman Stadium in Nawlins. Tulane looking to win their first conference championship since my co-host Sean King was the quarterback for the Green Wave in 1998. That was Conference USA. Now it's the American Athletic Conference. They're taking on UCF, a team they played just a couple weeks ago and lost to, Matt, but yet the market is backing Tulane already up as high as 4 in some spots. Tulane taking on UCF. I'm going to go ahead and make it an official play. Whatever the cheapest money line is out there, I got minus 160. Whatever the cheapest one is, I'm going Tulane here. Kind of a similar situation to the Notre Dame BYU game we talked about. It was sitting there at 3.5. That kind of tells you a story sometimes. And the fact that this game closed November 12th at 1, UCF won the game. And now Tulane is a 4-point favorite. Mm-hmm. It tells you something. I think it tells you that John Reese Plumlee is not going to be 100% healthy. And Gus Malzahn has kind of indicated that as well. He was able to run all over Tulane. But if he can't go or if he's limited like he's been in the past couple of weeks, I think Mikey Keene isn't very successful against this Tulane defense, a strong passing defense. So looks like the cheapest money line I see out there right now is minus 165. Minus 170 is readily available. I laid it at minus 160. I'm going to go Tulane here. I think Tajay Spears runs all over them. And I'll give you one last thing. And I know there's no such thing as motivation in championships. However, earlier this week on Monday, Willie Fritz was noncommittal to his future at Tulane. Mm-hmm. The next day, sent out a statement, I'm not going anywhere. I'm coming back. Something fell through at Georgia Tech.
Yeah, exactly.
But Tulane reaps the benefits of that. I think the team plays well. I think Tulane wins. I don't want to get dirty with a 3.5 or 4, so I'm going money line. Green Wave here against UCF.
Yeah, I was looking at that too, and I thought if Willie Fritz was going to head to Georgia Tech, that Tulane was going to be a fade in this game. Obviously, Tech told Willie, hey, we're not going to hire you. We're going to stick with Brent Key, and that's why he's still a Tulane. I kind of like the Green Wave in the game. I don't like it a lot. I talked to a really sharp college football bettor early this week who loves UCF in the game. So I said, okay, that's not what I was expecting to hear. I thought he was going to be on the Tulane side. And I'll tell you who that was off the air. I don't want to throw his name out there. I didn't tell him I would mention his name.
Well,
so
hopefully for that,
you know who it is.
Hopefully
you know
that
it is.
Sharp better. It is Tulane by three.
I kind of like Tulane. I still kind of like Tulane in the game, and I think like you, I might put Tulane on a money line parlay. I don't want to lay the points here, but I do like Tulane to win the game, and I think the first time these teams played, what the line close?
One.
Tulane won, yeah.
And now it's four.
Tulane won and lost the game.
They lost, and yet they're a four-point favorite now. Interesting. But once again, the health of John Rhys-Plumlee with that hamstring, I think, is the difference here. And they after that win, they lost the Navy, and they really struggled and almost blew it against USF last week in a rivalry game. So give me the Green Wave on the money line. That'll be an official play,
a good play
for me as well. Same time slot. A conference near and dear to your heart.
You know, there are people who are listening to this podcast, Tim, who would torch you for laying a money line price on a game like this.
Well, if it wins, I hope it lands three for those people then.
There's a certain group of Twitter critics who know it all, who love to criticize people for any certain play they make that's like not an optimal math play. Shut up. Just do your own betting and let people play the way they want to play.
I'm not buying from 5 to 5.5 here. I don't want to mess around with a 3-point game or a late touchdown from UCF. As you said on the podcast multiple times, sometimes paying an extra 50 cents is worth your peace of mind.
Well, it also was worth cashing a ticket the last time you and I bet Utah on the money line instead of laying the points against USC, right?
Yes, it did. Yeah. It worked out quite well there. Now, Notre Dame, the other game I've played two money lines on this podcast. I could be wrong. We'll get the interns on it. But Notre Dame covered. But as you said, peace of mind. I didn't have to worry about a backdoor cover. Just had to win the game. All right, Mountain West Conference. This is fascinating to me. These two teams have played, but you got to throw that game away, in my opinion, because Jake Haener did not play when these two teams met back on October 8th. Boise closed as an 11-point home favorite. They won 40-20. It is right now threes across the board. I grabbed 3.5. I was hoping there would still be a 3.5 available for the podcast here. Does not look that to be the case. Maybe wait. We'll see if we can get to 3.5. But I'll give you my spiel here real quickly on Fresno State. You know, I've heard it all week, Matt, that this Boise State defense is elite. And the statistics would tell you that is true. They are, I believe, number one in the country in passing yards allowed per game. Defensive passer rating, they're number four in the country. Can I read you the passing offenses that they faced this year?
I was going to say, you always have to take into consideration the opposition. They have not faced very good offenses.
Utah State, 105th passing offense. Wyoming, 125th. Nevada, 115. Colorado, 108. Air Force, 131. San Diego State, 119. New Mexico, 128. Oregon State, 103. They lost that game. It wasn't really competitive. UTEP, 86th. They lost that game. And BYU, 33rd. They lost that game. Jaren Hall lit this secondary up. 377 yards. BYU, I know I've seen some people say, and it's true, they scored a late touchdown to get the win. As a 9-point underdog, by the way, they outgained Boise State 532 to 324 in that game as a 9-point underdog. So I don't know how good Boise State's defense is, because Fresno State's defense, because they've played similar competition, is also top 20. All I know is that Jake Haener is a guy that threw for 360 yards against a really good offense and or defense in Oregon State earlier this year in a loss for Fresno at home. Caleb Williams faced that same defense. He threw for 180 yards. Michael Penix, the number one passing quarterback in the country against Oregon State, 298. Mm-hmm. Jake Haener's pretty darn good. If you just look at the games that Jake Haener's played this year, Fresno State is throwing for 321 yards per game. That would be sixth best in the country. If I'm getting points with a player that maybe him and Grayson McCall mean the most to the line to any other person in the entire country, I'm going to take the points with Fresno. So I was hoping that 3.5 would be available for the podcast. I'll still play it at 3. And I do think they have a good chance to win this game outright. I put a little on the money line as well. So give me Fresno. Jeff Tedford, by the way, he has won a Mountain West championship before at Boise State. Beat Boise State. Mm-hmm. Remember, this is Andy Avalos' just second year as a head coach. So I think the head coaching might lean towards Jeff Tedford here. I do like Talen Green. I think he's a special talent there at Boise State, but I'll take the points with Fresno.
Yeah, I think Talen Green has turned around Boise's season. Defense is probably getting a little bit too much credit. I couldn't agree with you more about those numbers. When I looked at the offenses Boise's faced, how can you not help but have great defensive numbers when you're facing those anemic passing offenses? You know, Fresno's season win total was a bad beat, 8.5 if you played it over. Ooh. This team's 8-4. There's no way they lose to UConn if they got Jake Haner. They might even beat Boise State the first time around. Fife quarterbacked in that game, and he threw for 134 yards. But Fresno State would have been at least 9-3, if not 10-2, had Jake Haner not gone down with that injury. So Fresno's won 7 straight, 5 of those with Haner. He passed for over 300 yards in 4 of those 5 games. I lean Fresno here as well. Think about how the narrative about Andy Avalos has flipped. There were a lot of people saying, all right, he can't coach. Got to get rid of him early in the season.
Lost
to UTEP. Yeah, it's going to look like there was going to be a coaching change at Boise State. Tedford's definitely the stronger coach here. I know that you love Jake Haner.
I do.
I mean, he's a guy. He's one of my favorite college quarterbacks in recent memory, too. I lean Fresno, but I need to get that 3.5. I'm going to wait to see if that pops up at some point.
Yeah, it was 3.5 earlier in the week. There was actually a rogue 3.5 late last night when I did my write-up Wednesday night at the Westgate here in town. And I know Westgates are available in some jurisdictions across the country, but that was scooped up as well. So, yeah, maybe see if you can get a 3.5. I grabbed it at 3.5, but yeah. Utah State, by the way.
It's been tough to find the 3.5 this week. You had to be quick on the trigger. I think Circa went from 3 to 3.5 for 2 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
I was able to get it. Have a lot of apps. I was able to get it at Stations Casino at 3.5 on, I think, Sunday night. By the way, though, Utah State, our colleague Adam Burke took the points with Utah State last week against Boise State. I don't know if you witnessed one of the worst bad beats.
Oh yeah.
This is for you, Adam. Boise State gets your revenge. I'll take the points with Boise State.
I can think of a lot of bad beats this football season. Well, let's go with the bottom 5. I think you have to go with that Utah State game a week ago. That might be number
28-23.
That might be the worst beat of the season. I think it's
going into the end zone, right, and they don't cover 17. Yeah. How is that possible?
The two worst beats are that one, I think, and also the under 46.5 in the Stanford-Cal game.
Oh, the
61-yard field goal at the buzzer.
61-yard field goal. Yeah, the last play of David Shaw's career, right, was getting – oh, no, they lost to BYU the next week.
To cut it to a 7-point game as time expired, 27-20, to go over the total of 4. Those are the two worst beats of the season. I think they have to be.
Let us know.
I was on that, by the way. I had the under 46.
Did you really? You never play totals.
Yeah, I liked that one that week, and I saw Stanford Steve was on it, and
blame Stanford Steve.
No, I'm not blaming him at all. I'm blaming David Shaw. Why the hell would you kick the field goal? And not only that, it's a 61-yarder, and the kid nails it, and he nails it. How many times is a college kicker going to make a 61-yarder?
Huh? To make it a 7-point game at the buzzer. Unbelievable.
I was looking at it all week because the offensive numbers were so bad for those teams. I was thinking, why is this total not 38? You know, 38.5. So, and Tim, late in that game, I think it was like 20-13. So, anyway.
I never played totals. I think I've given out one total on this show. It was the Notre Dame Clemson under. It was 14-0 going into the fourth quarter, and they scored 35 points in the fourth.
You wonder why I hate totals?
I hate totals,
too.
That's
why I don't play totals.
All right, let's get to a game near and dear to your heart. I think you've bet on every Purdue game on this show, one side or another. News coming out today, Blake Corum, done for the year for Michigan. Donovan Edwards picked up the slack against Ohio State. Great call by you. They went outright, just bully Ohio State 28-3 in the second half and run away from that game. 8 o'clock Eastern kick, this one at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. And as of recording, I believe it's still 17. Let me double check that.
But you could just look over your shoulder.
I could do that. I'll see if there's any 17 and a half. So there's no. It's all 17 pretty much across the board. Michigan laying that big number against Purdue. Sir, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I did not have a great week on this podcast a week ago. What, I go 3-3, I think, on the six picks I sent you. And I really thought I was going to win the Indiana play. And that was Hoosiers plus 10.5. I'm sure not many people watched the game. The eyes of the world were not going to be on the Purdue-Indiana game, but that was the right side, Tim. Indiana's quarterback, who was giving Purdue's defense all sorts of trouble, dual-threat quarterback. He was in the open field. He went down with a non-contact injury, either broke his leg or blew out his Achilles. At that point, Indiana had the lead in the game. Indiana led 7-3 at halftime, by the way. And we ended up losing that 30-16, but a lot of that had to do with the quarterback going down for the Hoosiers, and that really kind of flipped the game. So
I got a text message to read. We can read it verbatim from Matt Eumanns, Saturday 3:37. Bleeping QB injury killed the Indiana bet. Dog was the right side. And then he said, how is Mexico? All right, so what do you got here?
That quarterback injury did hurt. Okay, here I like Purdue. Like I said, Jeff Brohm's going to empty the playbook. He's got a sixth-year, 24-year-old quarterback in Aiden O'Connell. His brother died last week. He's been home grieving that, but he's going to be back with the team. He's going to start this game. What makes Purdue's offense better, too, is it's a little bit more balanced. This walk-on freshman, Devin Mockby, he's really injected a lot of life into the offense. Purdue's rushing for 125.8 yards per game, so they have much more of a rushing threat than they had in the past. Purdue's average margin of defeat in the four games it's lost this season, 9.8 points. There's only one game, and that was against Iowa on that cold, windy day where they couldn't get their offense going, and they lost a lopsided game. But this team plays to the level of competition, Tim, and that's why Jeff Brohm, like I said, flops as a favorite. He's dangerous as a dog. You think about the Wolverines the week prior to Ohio State. They were lucky to get by Illinois 19-17 in Ann Arbor. There's something about that look-ahead spot. There's also something about a letdown spot when you play the Super Bowl and you blow out Ohio State on the road. I think if you're matching up the personnel for these teams, yeah, Michigan deserves to be a significant favorite. And it wouldn't surprise me if Michigan's running attack is just too much and Purdue can't handle it. And Purdue gets steamrolled in this game. But I got a sneaking suspicion here it's going to be a lot closer for a while than people think. And with Blake Corum out, that does kind of level the playing field a little bit and makes Michigan's running attack a little less dangerous. I expect to see the best Jeff Brohm has to offer in terms of play calling in this game. Trick plays, all sorts of surprises. I think Purdue's going to be aggressive, and I'll take the 17 points.
Jeff Brohm has thrived against top five teams. Just ask Ohio State. Just ask Michigan State last year. It was Iowa last year. I mean, this is a spot that he loves. And, you know, I was thrilled, not that you lost your bet, but that Iowa was not in this. Because we saw that last year. It was 42-3.
Right.
And I don't know what the final score is on Saturday. It could be a blowout. But I do know this. Purdue has at least got an offense that can move. Charlie Jones has, speaking of Iowa, has been phenomenal since coming on as a grad transfer to Purdue.
You want to know why Charlie Jones transferred from Iowa to Purdue?
Wasn't he a childhood buddy with
Aiden O'Connell? Yeah, that is. But I think he caught more passes in his first two games at Purdue than he had the entire season at Iowa. That's why he transferred. Receivers want the ball, Tim.
Yes.
They want the ball.
Word on the street. All right. You're taking 17 with Purdue. Not going to disagree with that one. I do think last year, Michigan was really hungry to win the conference.
No question.
Is that still hunger still there? Not saying they're not going to be motivated, but I don't know if it's that same burning desire like it was last year.
That's a good point.
All right. Another primetime game. Get excited. Number 9, Clemson. Why are they still in the top 10? Against number 23, North Carolina, why are they ranked? This number This game will be played in Charlotte, by the way. 7.5, couple eights out there. 8 o'clock Eastern kick on ABC. UNC coming in off back-to-back losses to Georgia Tech and NC State. Remember that time Drake May was going to win the Heisman Trophy? And Clemson coming in off a loss to South Carolina. So I wouldn't say both these teams are riding high. DJU played just horribly against South Carolina, and he'll probably start again on Saturday night. How do you look at this one on Saturday night in Charlotte?
Why is Dabo Swinney being so stubborn with DJ? He's 8-for-29 last week, 99 yards, and he goes the whole way in the 31-30 loss. Why? Can you explain it?
I cannot. There's some conspiracy theories out there that there's a freshman coming in next year for Clemson that's better than Klubnik. I don't know. I don't know. One of these guys, by the way, and I think I've heard some rumors that DJU, as soon as this game's over, is going into the portal.
Yeah.
Oh. So.
So why is Dabo protecting him?
I have no idea. Klubnik should be the guy. Leave.
Anyway, I think Clemson's been unimpressive for most of the season. Got exposed by Notre Dame. Obviously, last week by South Carolina. Tim, you watch a lot of college football. The best two prospects at the quarterback position, in my mind, are Caleb Williams and Drake May. Who do you think it would be? And they're not going to be in the 2023 draft, by the way. These guys are still a year away from the NFL draft.
Bryce Young's pretty special, too.
But he's special, but he's very slightly built, which bothers me.
I think Caleb Williams is exceptional, and I think Drake May is rising. So, yeah, hard to argue.
And Bryce Young, I think, is going to be the first quarterback to go in this draft. But next year's draft, well, I'm talking 2024, when you got Caleb Williams and Drake May, that's going to be a big-time quarterback draft. He's a redshirt freshman, 35 TDs, 5 picks. He's also, by the way, the team's leading rusher with over 600 yards. I think he's the real deal. DJ's a phony. And this game, by the way, is in Drake May's hometown of Charlotte, where I think the Tar Heels are fully capable of pulling the upset here. I wonder about Dabo and how he can motivate his team. You know, they have no shot at the playoff. They just lost to South Carolina. I think this is one of those games, another game where the dog is playing with house money. Take the 8 points with Carolina.
All right. Let's wrap it up with a couple spicy matchups.
Spicy matchups.
All right, Friday night, CBS Sports Network, 7:30 Eastern, the Alamo Dome. You got North Texas and UTSA, the Roadrunners. These two teams played earlier this year, Matt, and it was a back-and-forth battle. UTSA wins with a last-second touchdown. They were a 10-point favorite against the Mean Green on October 22nd. They are now an 8.5-point favorite. Once again, 31-27 was the final score back on October 22nd. I'm not going to lie and say I've watched a ton of CUSA football this year. Austin Oon, the quarterback for North Texas.
Pretty good quarterback.
And Frank Harris is also a good quarterback for UTSA.
Yeah.
Haven't played it. Lean the dog here, though. North Texas, I think, is an interesting spot here. Catching 8.5 against UTSA. Last year, North Texas was 5-6. Steamrolled UTSA to get the bowl eligibility. Played earlier this year, as mentioned, close game. So catching 8.5, I could be intrigued to take the dog here. I'm just going to run through these three games, these other conference championships, and see if you have anything. Toledo, Ohio, that's going to be the MAC championship. ESPN on noon. Our colleague here at VSIN, Stormy Bonatoni, will be on the sidelines there for the MAC championship. Both of these teams, Matt, dealing with quarterback issues. Nathan Rourke for Ohio is out. CJ Harris has taken over there for the Bobcats. And Daquan Finn played last week but was a shell of himself. They bring in Tucker Gleason. He did not play well either. Tucker Gleason, I believe, has a broken bone in his non-throwing hand. But one thing I'll say, if you like how the market goes, and you and I spoke to the same odds maker saying that sharp money was coming in on Toledo. It was 1.5 on, I want to say, Wednesday. As of record right now, Toledo is a 3-point favorite. So do with it what you will, but sharp money coming in on the Rockets against Ohio in the MAC championship.
And that's based on information. That's based on sharp money. And Tim, I cannot pick winners in the MAC, so I'm going to let somebody else pick this one for me. And I'll play Toledo based on the sharps and the information.
And then final one.
I don't know about you, but the MAC is my worst conference when it comes to handicapping and picking winners.
That's a good.
Your worst conference?
I'm trying to think. What my worst conference? I don't bet the MAC nearly enough. I did bet Bowling Green win total over this year. I liked what I saw there coming back. I wrote up the MAC for our VSiN betting guide. Maybe the Sun Belt? I don't know. That's a good question. I have to go back and look in my my file here. Speaking of the Sun Belt, let's get to it. 3:30 Eastern. This will be a home field game. Troy hosting Coastal Carolina. Quarterback concerns in this one for sure. I mentioned Jake Haener. Maybe he means the most to the point spread of any player in college football. Mm-hmm. Grayson McCall would like a word, as would Coastal Carolina. He is has been sidelined for 4 weeks, Matt, with a foot injury. Earlier this week, Jamie Chadwell was doing a radio interview and said on Wednesday, if the game was today, Grayson McCall would not play. But I'm hopeful he will play on Saturday. There's some rumors that he will play on Saturday. I would imagine he'll try to give it a go. You've seen this line go all over the place. Opened 4.5, got up to 11. Now it's sitting around 8.5. I don't personally have a play on this one. I'll say this, though, on VSiN Primetime, Brad Powers came on the show, and he loves Troy. And he said, wait and see if the news comes out that Grayson McCall does play, because then you might see that number tick under 7, and that would be a go big time for him. So that's what I got on that game. You know, Sun Belt, maybe similar to the CUSA, not a conference I watched a ton of, but with no Grayson McCall, and I'll say this, one last thought on Coastal Carolina, Jamie Chadwell is gone come Sunday. Whether it be Liberty or USF, he is not going to be the head coach of Coastal Carolina. I don't know if it's going to be a situation like we've seen in the past with Scott Frost when he left UCF, where he was celebrated. Hey, man, go back to Nebraska. Congratulations. I don't know if that's the same situation, because it almost feels a little lateral to go from Coastal to either USF or Liberty. So I'm not sure the motivation. And then you look at Liberty and how much they went in the tank once the rumors came out about Hugh Freeze leaving. So I couldn't play Coastal in this year. It would only be Troy or nothing in this spot.
Yeah, we have a lot of smart people on the air on VSiN, and Brad Powers is one of those. And when it comes to Powers and college football, I would defer to him on the analysis in that game. And I saw the video clip that you put out from your show with Sean King this week, and Brad Powers talking about that. So I think he's got more answers than I do. I will say this. I find it hilarious that Liberty lost its final three games, including 49-14 to New Mexico State as a 24-point favorite.
That's bowl-eligible New Mexico State to you, that's sir. Right.
And Hugh Freeze got the Auburn job after that. And with all the baggage he's got.
What are you talking about?
I don't understand. You're going to have to explain to me how Deion Sanders did not get the Auburn job. You got Bo Jackson. You got Charles Barkley lobbying for the guy. The future of college football is NIL deals and marketing and recruiting. That's all it is. You can't get in trouble anymore. Why can't Deion come in?
Unless you text escorts, maybe.
Well, unless you're a backup quarterback of Florida or things like that. That's a different story. But in terms of recruiting and things like that, Tim, the future of college football is what Deion is doing. And I think that he would have been a home run hire at Auburn. I can't figure out why you go with a guy like Hugh Freeze with all this baggage, but you don't go for Deion. I think, once again, Auburn's the people in charge with all the money and influence have screwed up the coaching situation. I think Hugh Freeze is overrated. I think that was a bad choice. It should have been Deion. Whoever gets Deion is going to hit a home run. South Florida, Colorado whoever it's going to be.
Cincinnati.
Yeah. It's, so I think that was a big mistake anyway by Auburn.
By the way, Mike Pritchard, I think, has just as much clout as Bo Jackson and Charles Barkley. He is pushing for his alma mater to get Deion Sanders.
How can you not? Auburn should have done it.
All right, let's get to it.
Okay.
To wrap it up, a best bet recap.
Best bet recap.
All right, Mr. Humans, fire away, championship weekend.
All right, let's go USC -2.5, Kansas State +2.5, LSU, which I got at 18. We'll call it 17.5 now because the 18s have disappeared. North Carolina +8, and Purdue +17.
All
five
right.
plays.
I will go Utah +3. Head-to-head against Humans. Fresno State, I played at 3.5. It's 3 right now. I'll give it out at 3 because 3.5 doesn't exist. Wait maybe a little, see if we can get a 3.5, read the market a bit. And Tulane money line. Find the cheapest money line. I got minus 160. It looks like minus 170 readily available. So we'll go Tulane money line. And then a group think play, I would say Toledo. Are we going to lay the three money line? What would you do with Toledo here with the news of sharp money coming in?
I'm going to lay the money line here because you could have laid 1.5, 2.5 on this play. If you haven't bet it yet, just go ahead and lay. The money line price is pretty cheap on the Rockets.
I believe I can.
140, 150, I think, right now.
So Toledo, sharp money on Toledo. So just take a look. It looks like minus 150 is the cheapest here in town. All right. That's going to do it. Next week, Matt, you and I will reconvene to talk about bowl season, a season that you and I love so very much. Once again, rate, review, subscribe, tell a friend. Hey, it's the holiday season. Why don't tell a friend about the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast? For Matt Eumanns, the bets giving champion of the world. He'll be wearing his belt around Las Vegas for years to come. I am Tim Murray. We'll talk to you next week. Let's have ourselves a winning weekend.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I think my battery's dead.
With free battery testing and charging, we can help you get back on the road.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
So what if I need a new one?
We have the right Duralast battery for you, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
And what about my old battery?
We can recycle it right here at America's number one battery destination.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.